We don't all have the same gift, but the Lord blesses us, and the abilities and talents that we have are not because of our own personal goodness or intelligence or whatever, but rather they're gifts from God. And I believe truly that the Lord has given our brother Glenn the gift of teaching, because I feel when I listen to his sermons and when he gets finished, I feel like I've been taught. And so I would ask that we would thank the Lord for these gifts. I ask that you would raise up our brother Glenn in your prayers, that he would teach us. And I would ask that you would pray that the Lord would open your ears, that you'd be ready to be taught. Elder Glenn Gill.
Good morning to you all. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, who reigns at the right hand of our Father in heaven, and who is the sole and only leader of his church. The first Wednesday night of this month, Alvin Harris stood before you and read from the fourth book of Nephi. And he didn't know that two Sundays before, I had preached on that subject in Bemidji, Minnesota. And I'd prepared something to present to you from that same place. And I thought it was a very good introduction to the topic. So I'm going to go there. Please follow me in your Book of Mormon, the fourth book of Nephi, page 681. I want to set the stage for this with a little backpedaling. I'm going to read it, then we're going to do a flashback and see what the situation was before that. Then it came to pass that the 30 and 4th year passed away, and also the 30 and 5th, and behold, the disciples of Jesus had formed a church of Christ in all the lands round about. So these are the disciples Jesus had chosen, and they were his other sheep, as he told the people over there in Galilee. I'm going to skip to verse 3. And it came to pass in the 36th year, the people were all converted unto the Lord upon all the face of the land, both Nephites and Lamanites, and there were no contentions and disputations among them, and every man did deal justly one with another, and they had all things common among them. Therefore, they were not rich and poor, bond and free, but they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift. And it came to pass that the 37th year passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick and raise the dead and cause the lame to walk and the blind to receive their sight and the deaf to hear. And all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men. And in nothing did they work miracles save it were in the name of Jesus. And thus did the 38 years pass away, and also the 39th, and the 41st, and the 42nd, and so forth down the line. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. And the Lord did prosper them exceedingly in the land, yea, insomuch that they did build cities again where there had been cities burned. Yea, even that great city Zarahemla that they caused to be built again. And there were many cities which had been sunk, and waters came up instead thereof. Therefore, these cities could not be renewed. By the way, these cities, or the ruins of them, have been seen in the at the bottom of the sea. And so they've been known. Now, behold, it came to pass that the people of Nephi did wax strong and did multiply exceeding fast and became an exceeding fair and delightsome people. And they were married and given in marriage and were blessed according to the multitude of the promises which the Lord had made unto them. And they did not walk any more after the performance of the ordinance of law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer, and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass, there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles wrought among the disciples of Jesus. And it came to pass that in the 71st year passed away, and also the 72nd year, yea, and fine, until the 79th year had passed away, and we're going on down to through more time. But verse 16 says, and there were other disciples ordained in their stead, and also many of the generation which had passed away. So we have a whole generation has gone by. The disciples Jesus chose had all died, and they were replaced with others. And so that tells us what Jesus wanted, that when the 12 died, there were others in their place as they died. And it came, I'm coming to number 17. And it came to pass that there was no contention in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. I've underlined that verse because it explains how all of this was possible. And we should not treat that lightly. The love of God dwelling in the hearts of the people is what makes it happen. And there were no envyings, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murderers, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people which had been created by the hand of God. There were no robbers, nor murderers, neither were there Lamanites or any manner of ites, but they were in one the children of Christ and heirs of the kingdom of God. Now this is the oneness that I think is important, that they were heirs to the kingdom of God, that they were blessed with this love that they had, the love of God which dwelt in their hearts. And that's why there were no robbers or murderers or any manner of ites. And verse 21 says, how blessed were they, for the Lord did bless them in all their doings, yea, even they were blessed and prospered until 110 years had passed away, and the first generation of Christ had passed away, and there was no contention in all the land. Now, it would be nice if we could stop there and say, well, that's the way it was then from then on. And forevermore, that's the beautiful situation that would be. But we can't say that, because this beautiful thing only lasted about 130 years before it began to break down. So I'll go to verse 25. And it came to pass that 200 years had passed away, and the second generation had all passed away, save it were a few. And now I, Mormon, would that ye should know that the people had multiplied insomuch that they were spread upon all the face of the land, and that they had become exceeding rich because of the prosperity in Christ. And now in this 201st year, there began to be among them those which were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of a costly apparel and all manner of fine pearls and all things of the world. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substance no more common among them. And they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain, and they began to deny the true church of Christ. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land. Yea, there were churches which professed to know the know Christ, and yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto him to whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. And this church did multiply exceedingly because of iniquity, and because of the power of Satan, which did get hold on their hearts. And again, there was another church which denied the Christ, that they did persecute the true church of Christ because of their humility and their belief, and they did despise them, and because of the many miracles which were wrought among them. Therefore they did exercise power and authority over all the disciples of Jesus, and did tarry with them, and they did cast them into prison. And it goes on to say that they got out of those prisons, but because God was with them. But you can see the story developing here, and the beautiful thing, the happy people were just like us, weren't they? Or worse, they were no longer that happy people. Now, I want to examine a little bit first, who were these people, and what had they been through, and then bring us down to our own time and think about this situation. First, the happy thing I read, and then the unhappy thing I read. So I'm going back in 3 Nephi to chapter 1, and I'm going to do some reading there, and then we're going to flip through some pages and just get a picture of these people, who they were, where they came from, how these things developed. In chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw the wickedness of his people, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass he went and bowed himself down on the earth and cried mightily to his God in behalf of his people, yea, those which were about to be destroyed because of their faith in the tradition of their fathers." Now that goes back to the time of the birth of Christ. And you might remember what happened, that he prayed, and he was shown. And I'll read that. "And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all that day, and behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given, and on the morrow come I into the world to show unto the world that I will fulfill all which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets." Now there were people at that time who believed the holy prophets and knew that Christ would come and looked forward to that. And there were people who thought that was the traditions of man, and they sought to persecute those who would think that way, even to the point of setting a time for their death. And I'm sure you remember the story. We hear it many times around Christmas time, how they saw this great, wonderful prophecy that Nephi made come to pass, and they realized that Jesus really had been born, and that the prophets were true. And Nephi then had an opportunity to go forth among the people and to baptize and to receive people in the remission of their sins. And that says, verse 27, "It came to pass that Nephi went forth among the people, and also many others, baptizing unto repentance, in the which there was great remission of sins. And thus the people began again to have peace in the land, and there were no contentions, save it were a few that began to preach, endeavoring to prove that by the scriptures that it was no more expedient to observe the law of Moses." Now in this thing, they did err, having not understood the scriptures. "But it came to pass that they soon became converted and were convicted of the error they were in, for it was made known unto them that the law was not yet fulfilled, and that it must be fulfilled every whit." It goes on to say that the people who believed those things looked forward to other prophecies being fulfilled and coming to pass of all of them, right up into the sacrifice that would be made. I want to go to chapter 2. And chapter 2 begins like this. "Now it came to pass that in the 16th year from the coming of Christ, Lycaonius, the governor of the land, received an epistle from the leader of the governor of this band of robbers. So the famous Gadianton robbers are around, and they're strong. And what the leader of the robbers said was he wanted them to give up their lands and their freedom and join them. And I'm going to read verses 7, 8, and 9 to show you what he really wanted or what he said. Therefore I write unto you, desiring that you would yield up unto this people your cities, your lands, and your possessions, rather than that they should visit you with the sword, and that destruction should come upon you. So he's bragged about his armies and said that they could destroy all the Nephites, and they would if they wouldn't listen to this proposal. Or in other words, yield yourselves up unto us and unite with us and become acquainted with our secret works and become our brethren, that ye may be like unto us, not our slaves, but our brethren and partners of all our substance. And behold, I swear unto you, if you will do this with an oath, you shall not be destroyed. But if you will not do this, I swear unto you with an oath that on the morrow month I will command that my army shall come down against you. So you might remember what Lycaonius did. He gave them he didn't give him the response they wanted. Instead, in that month, just think about this, in that month, he organized his people. And he got an army, and he caused fortifications to be built. And he brought them all into a central location, so that they could defend themselves more easily. And in verse 20, it says this, "Yea, he said unto them, as the Lord liveth, except ye repent of all your iniquities, and cry unto the Lord, that they could in no wise be delivered out of the hands of those Gadianton robbers. And so great and marvelous were the words and prophecies of Lycaonius, that they did cause fear to come upon all the people, and they did exert themselves in their might, and to do according to the words of Lycaonius. And it came to pass that Lycaonius did appoint chief captains over all the armies of the Nephites." Now, the one he appointed to be in charge of everything was Gidgadoni. And Gidgadoni began to get things fortified and prepare for the coming of the adversary. The names are kind of interesting alike. The robbers' commander was Gideonhi. So Gidgadoni and Gideonhi, I have trouble with this myself, but trying to keep it straight. So I want to tell you the story of what happened quickly as I can. The robbers did come against them, but they were fortified, and they had brought provisions for 7 years into their place. And so the robbers were dependent upon the game around them. But when they came to battle, there was nothing for them. And so they quickly ran out of their supplies, and they had to give up. And when they began to disperse, the people of Nephi went out after them and chased them down. And their leader was killed in the process, and they were just badly demolished. A lot of deaths, and so they had to give up their scheme, but they didn't give it up for long. They appointed a new leader, and his name was Zemnariah, and Zemnariah decided it was time to rebuild and get up there and get this thing accomplished. And I want to read about Gideonhi first, verse 60. And it came to pass that Gideonhi, who had stood and fought with boldness, was pursued as he fled. And being weary because of much fighting, he was overtaken and slain. And thus was the end of the robber. And it came to pass that the armies of the Nephites did return again to their place of security. And it came to pass that this 19th year, the 19th year after the birth of Christ, did pass away, and the robbers did not come again to battle, neither did they come in the 20th year, in the 21st year, and did not come up into battle. And they came on all sides to lay siege around about the people of Nephi. Now they had 7 years of supplies. But some years have gone by, so their supplies are getting restricted, but they're still in that place where they assembled. And here comes the robbers again. And so what they did was they just let things be, and they ran out and raided the robbers periodically, night and morning, and they just kept launching raids and picking on them. And presently they ran out of supplies, and they gave up and left. And that was the end of that business. But here were these people then. They had won this battle. They had been organized and had repented, and they knew that they should follow the law of Moses until all things were fulfilled. So they were looking forward to the sacrifice that Christ would make. I want to just kind of depart here a little bit and read something that tells us how we have all of this information. I think it's a very important thing to know that. I'm going to go to page 615 and start with verse 92. And the writer is Mormon. I'll start with 94. Therefore, I have made my record of these things according to the record of Nephi, which was engraved on the plates which were called the plates of Nephi. And behold, I do make this record on plates which I have made with my own hands. And behold, I am called Mormon, being called after the land of Mormon, the land in which Alma did establish the church among the people, yea, the first church which was established among them after their transgression. You might remember that 125 years before Christ was born, they believed the prophecies, and they organized a church, and they taught about Christ way back then. Alma is the one who did that, and he's being recognized here by the writer, who is Mormon. Mormon writes this in 97, "Behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I have been called of him to declare his word among his people, that they might have everlasting life. And hath become expedient that I, according to the will of God, that the prayers of those which have gone hence, which were the holy ones, should be fulfilled according to their faith, should make a record of these things which have been done. Yea, a small record of that which hath taken place from the time when Lehi left Jerusalem, even down until the present time." So now we're talking about here, Mormon wrote a condensed version of this, going all the way back to when Lehi left Jerusalem. "Therefore I do make my record from the accounts which have been given by those which were before me until the commencement of my day, and then I do make a record of the things which I have seen with my own eyes. And I know the record which I make to be a just and true record. Nevertheless, there are many things which, according to our language, we're not able to write. And now I make an end of my saying, which is of myself, and proceed to give an account of the things which have been before me. I am Mormon and a pure descendant of Lehi." A little later on, you find that there is a book with his name, a small book. But the other things he has condensed from the records that he received and has given us this information that I'm giving to you at this time. I want to go to the third book, third chapter of 3 Nephi, and it starts like this. "Now it came to pass that the people of the Nephites did return to their own lands in the 26th year." So that's 26 years after the birth of Christ. Which year, as they reckon time, did he die? It was 34. So here is 26, and from 26 to 34, not many years, is it? Just a few years, but a lot happened. A lot of things happened. I'm going to read some of those things. Well, on chapter 3, verse 10. "And it came to pass in the 29th year, there began to be some disputings among the people." Notice the sequence of events. They were believers. They had won this war. They were praising their God for helping them. And now comes this. In the 29th year, there began to be disputings among the people. And some were lifted up unto pride and boastings because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto persecutions. For there were many merchants in the land, and also many lawyers and many officers. Anything sounding familiar here? And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches and the churches and the chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others were exceeding humble. Some did return railing for railing, while others would receive railing and persecution and all manner of afflictions, and would not turn and revile again, but were humble and penitent before God. And thus there became a great inequality in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up, yea, insomuch that in the 30th year the church was broken up in all the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites, which were converted unto the true faith. And they would not depart from it, and they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of the Lord. Would that we in our time are these, while all around us are the other things I've just read about. Would that we were those. Are you following me? Do you see today in what I have written? Do you see the things going on around us in what I have written? And I'll go back over that. Some were lifted up in pride with boasting their riches. There were merchants and also lawyers and officers. People were distinguished by their ranks according to their riches and their learning. And lifted up in pride, some were humble. The proudful ones railed on the humble ones. There was a great inequality. The church was broken up. That meant, of course, instead of one, there were many. And there was, though, a few who stuck with the truth. And they were firm and steadfast and immovable and willing to keep the commandments of the Lord. Now, the cause of this iniquity of the people was this. Satan had great power unto the stirring up of the people to do all manner of iniquity, and to be puffing them up with pride, tempting them to seek for power and authority and riches and vain things of the world. And thus Satan did lead away the hearts of the people to do all manner of iniquity. Therefore they had not enjoyed peace but a few years. So these are the people. These are the people that were around when the sign of his death came. Now they did not sin ignorantly, for they knew the will of God concerning them, for it had been taught unto them. Therefore they did willfully rebel against God. Are we not living in that society today? Page over, verse 35. And they did set at defiance the laws and rights of their country. And they did covenant one with another to destroy the governor and to establish a king over the land, that the land should no more be at liberty, but should be subject unto kings. That could be dictators or other kinds of rulers too. Any kind of rule like that. And behold, I will show unto you that they did not establish a king over the land, but in the same year, yea, the 30th year, they did destroy upon the judgment seat, yea, did murder the chief judge of the land. And the people were divided one against another, and they did separate one from another into tribes, every man according to his family and his kindred and his friends. And thus they did destroy the government of the land. And every tribe did appoint a chief or a leader over them, and thus they became tribes and leaders of tribes. In other words, they became ites, didn't they? And behold, there was no man among them, save he had much family and many kindreds and friends. Therefore their tribes became exceeding great. These are the people who are going to experience the events of the death of Christ. A secret combination came up among, became strong among them, and there was contention. Notice the sequence. They went from a government that was a free government to tribes. That was the breakdown. And don't think that couldn't happen now. Well, I'm going to skip to chapter 4. Excuse me, I want to read something else first. The people were divided against each other, and they did separate from one another into tribes. And verse 44. Now the secret combination which had brought so great iniquity among the people did gather themselves together and did place at their head a man whom they did call Jacob, and they did call him their king. Therefore he became king over the wicked band, and he was one of the chiefest which had given his voice against the prophets which testified of Jesus. So the non-believers were now in charge. Verse 52. And it came to pass in the 31st year that they were divided into tribes. Nevertheless, they had come to an agreement that they would not go to war one with another, but they were not united as to their laws. So they had a truce among the tribes. That would seem like peace, but it wasn't really. Verse 56. And it came to pass that Nephi, having been visited by angels, and also by the voice of the Lord, therefore having seen angels, and being eyewitness, and having had power given unto him that he might know concerning the ministry of Christ, and also being eyewitness to their quick return from righteousness unto their wickedness and abominations, therefore being grieved for the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, went forth among them in that same year and began to testify boldly repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, and did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and a part of them would not suffice. Therefore, they're not written in this book. And Nephi did minister with power and great authority, and it came to pass they were angry with him, even because he had greater power than they. And so even Nephi could not get things back to where they were. Verse 67. And Nephi did cry unto the people in the commencement of the 33rd year, and did preach unto them repentance and remission of sins. Now, time's getting close, isn't it? Now, I would have you remember also that there were none which were brought unto repentance who were not baptized with water. Therefore, there were ordained of Nephi men unto this ministry, that all such as should come unto them should be baptized in water. And this is the witness of the testimony before God and unto the people, that they had repented and received the remission of their sins. So here they were. The rulers were the bad folks, but there were some around who believed and were baptized. And there were some ordained ones who could teach them. And that's the situation as we go into the fourth chapter. I'm going to skip a little here. They also remembered the words of Samuel the Lamanite, who had prophesied the destruction of the people many years before. Verse 6 of chapter 4. And it came to pass in the 34th year, in the first month, on the fourth day of the month, there arose a great storm, such a one as had never been known in all the land. And there was also a great and terrible tempest, and there was terrible thunder, and so much that it did shake the whole earth, as if it was about to divide asunder. And there were exceeding sharp lightnings. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire, and the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And the earth was carried up upon the city of Moroni. And in that place of that city there became a great mountain, and it was a great and terrible destruction. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but Skipping to verse 14, and thus the face of the whole earth became deformed because of the tempests and thunderings and lightnings and quaking of the earth. And behold, the rocks were rent in twain, and they were broken up upon the face of the whole earth. And it goes on to describe all of this destruction that took place and the millions of people that died. Verse 21, and it came to pass that it did last for a space of 3 days. There was no light seen. And there was great mourning and howling and weeping among the people continually. And great were the groanings of the people because of the darkness and the great destruction which had come upon them. And in one place they heard a cry saying, oh, that we had repented before this great and terrible day. And that's the situation that they face. Into this situation came the voice of the Lord. Page 628. O all ye that were spared, because you were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me and repent of your sins and be converted, that I may heal you? Yea, verily I say unto you, if you will come unto me, you shall have eternal life. Did they come? They were just a small part of all the people that had survived. Chapter 5. And it came to pass that there were a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi round about the temple, which was in Bountiful, and they were marveling and wondering one with another, and were showing one another the great and marvelous change which had taken place. Well, change had taken place because many months had passed from the voice that was heard until his appearance. And they had been working and trying to restore what they could of their livelihood. And so those were the people to whom Jesus came. And when they understood his voice, verse 11, and it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, behold, I am Jesus Christ, of which the prophets testified should come into the world. And I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of the bitter cup which the Father hath given me. And I have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And thus was the beginning of his teaching among the survivors of the people of Nephi and the Lamanites who were with them. That's the people whom he taught. I hope that gives us a picture. They had been through those wars. They had been with the Lord, and they had been against the Lord. They had been overtaken by Satan. But a few of them were strong in the Lord. And I'm sure that's who Jesus was talking to when he said the more righteous had been saved. And they lived through a time when he taught them and he told them many things, and he called those 12, and the 12 taught, and the people believed what they taught. And he told them things for the future, prophesied to them what would happen with the children of Israel. And they had all of this information like you and I have. That's what they had. So we're like that in knowledge. I want to do a little summary of the people in the fourth book of Nephi. There could not be a happier people. Well, how did they get that way? Let's take a look. The people of Nephi had been personally taught by the resurrected Christ. That's what I was just telling you about very briefly. I know you've read it. All were converted and received the Holy Ghost within 2 years. There were no contentions or disputations among them.
Is this showing?
Yeah. They dealt justly one with another. They had all things common among them. I want to talk about that a little bit. I'm standing here wearing a suit. If we had all things common, does that mean that all of us should be wearing suits in order to have all things common? Well, it doesn't mean that we should all give up our property and the things we value and own and the things that are required to a central authority, and the central authority would dole it out to us as they see we have need. It's not that either, because there's only one who is in charge, that is Jesus Christ. And below him are the 12 whom he chooses as they are needed. And so there isn't any structure for that. He has given us liberty and our conscience and our ability to choose. It doesn't fit that picture. No, all things common means that they were all made free and partakers of the heavenly gift, the Holy Ghost. In that, we are all common. If we're not all common in that, there's something wrong. And we're not going to make it. The Lord prospered them, and they rebuilt their cities, the ones that they could, not the ones that were sunk in the sea. And they waxed strong and multiplied rapidly. Remember, there weren't very many of them. Millions and millions had died. They walked after the commandments of the Lord. There was no envy or strife or tumults or whoredoms or lying or murder or lasciviousness of any manner or any manner of ites. I want to say something about that ites business again. They distinguished between the tribes by naming them after the leaders. There were Lamanites and Zoramites and Nephites. Do we have ites today? Sure, we certainly do. We don't stick ites on someone's name, but we have titles and names for groups of people, and we make judgments about those groups of people. And they are high up or low down in the structure of things, according to their wealth and education. And this, probably the most important for us to consider, they met together oft to pray and to hear the word. It means the word of God. I just ran out of space. These things made them a happy people with peace, with things that we yearn for. We have names for it. We call it Zion. Now, of course, Zion is kind of a broad word, but we yearn for that. And we have not been seeing it, have we? Because something is not really there. Give you a little time to contemplate that. Well, here's the list again. Can we honestly claim anything on this list? Do we meet together often and pray to hear the word? God. Do that? Do we do that? Is there no envy or strife or tumults or whoredom or lying or murder or lasciviousness or any mania of rights among us? As a nation? No way. As a church? Do we fit this as a church? Any envy? Any strife? Any lying? I'm not sure we can claim that one. We walk after the commandments of the Lord? I sure hope so. Do we wax strong and multiply rapidly? Once a week shows pretty good signs of that. It's not hard to do. Are we prospered by the Lord? Do we build things? I think we are. Maybe more than we realize. Are we made free and partakers of the heavenly gift in the church? Yeah. At least that's our aim. We try hard. Maybe we don't always succeed. Do we deal justly with one another? Careful. I think we can find instances in which we have not dealt justly with one another. my thought. If you have that thought too, fine. Do you think we're just fine on that category? Okay. I don't believe it. No contentions and disputations among us? Well, are all converted and received the Holy Ghost? They did it in 6 years. For the whole group. I mean, everybody. We can't even talk our neighbors into coming to church. I don't think we're very far along that line. Personally taught by the resurrected Christ. I think about that a little bit. They had Christ among them, personally and physically. He served them the sacrament. Told them how to do it. They were there watching as he chose his disciples, named them one by one. They came and joined him. He told the people to listen to what they taught. We haven't had an experience like that, have we? Or have we? We have it vicariously because we have these words. Right? They didn't have those. They didn't have those words. They didn't have those books. We have those books. And so, in a way, we are personally taught. Well, okay. If we don't feel convicted enough by this, let's look at how they became an unbelieving and wicked people. A small number of them revolted and made themselves ites. They separated themselves in every way. 150, that means that happened 150 years after the sacrifice of Christ. The people became exceeding rich. They became lifted up in pride. They wore costly apparel and desired the fine things of the world. Hope you're thinking as we go along. They no longer had their goods and substances common among them. They began to be divided into classes. Remember the tribes back there before? They began to build up churches unto themselves to get gain. Their churches professed to know Christ but denied most of his gospel and persecuted the true church. They received all manner of wickedness and gave the sacrament to those who were not baptized 210 years after Christ came and taught them. Think about that a little bit. Where do we fit on this list as a church? Do we receive all manner of wickedness and give sacrament to those who are not baptized? No. We're clean on this one. Do we profess to know Christ but deny most of the gospel and persecute the true church? Do we deny any of the gospel? I hope not. Do we build up churches unto ourselves to get gain? I think we're clean on this one. Although there are some little nudgings here and there. Are we divided into classes? Do we look down on each other because of this or that or the other? Or maybe we're not all dressed quite as fine as others. Maybe we have larger houses or drive more spectacular vehicles. Or maybe we have done things in our lives that we had to repent of and we're looked down on because of those things by others who don't feel they have been that unrighteous. Do do we have our goods and substance common among us? That's an interesting one. What is common? I talked about that. And the last time I presented these things, and my good wife has been bringing it to my attention frequently ever since then. In fun, of course. And when I would talk about doing something or getting something, she will say, "Is that common?" And so we have an understanding. But I hope we all have an understanding. Do we wear costly apparel and desire the fine things of the world? Well, we have costly apparel and we have the fine things of the world. Do we make that a desire of our hearts? Other societies would look at us and say we have grandiose things of costly apparel and fine substances of the world. And maybe we are riding a little bit high on the hog here. I don't know. Are we lifted up because of pride? Are we lifted up in pride? Are we exceeding rich? Well, we don't feel like we're exceeding rich. The richest among us don't feel like we're exceeding rich. Because what exceeds? It's what I want is what counts. See, if it doesn't exceed what I want, it's not exceeding rich. Am I correct here? Are there a small number of us who revolt and change their name and revolt? That's kind of hard. I haven't seen any revolt in the church that has caused another group to form that is then combative with the original. But in the past, there's been lots of it. So are we in danger anywhere here of, or do we have to watch ourselves? Or do we have to change anything so that we don't make this same trek down the line into a wicked thing? Someone unworthy, some group unworthy as a church to become the bride of Christ. That's really where it's at. You know, on that day that's recounted in the 21st chapter of Revelation, when the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband, that should be us. And I worry about that, because that requires a lot of us. And I think we're a little bit short of the mark, maybe a lot short of the mark. And so it's good to look at what happened to these people. And both to see how they became the happiest people, and to see how the same people became the wicked people that they became. It's where the whole society was destroyed until there were only one or a few, or however, I don't know for sure, but where we know there was one left over, and that was Moroni. What all those people destroyed themselves and just left a legacy of records and bones and remains of buildings. And we have to ask, who were they? Well, Mormon told us who they were and what happened to them. So are we learning the lessons that come from that knowledge? That's what I hope for, is that we learn the lessons. And while we are not in the same situation as those who became the happiest people that ever were, we are in a position to be a happy people. And in a position to be the most happy people on that day of judgment, when the bride is presented to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to be. I hope that's where you want to be. And this is the lesson I think we get from the fourth book of Nephi. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. I feel taught. I hope you also do. A few names that have been...